Yesterday, I led a hike for another church group down the gorge of the Potomac River. You start there at Great Falls at the Visitor Center, and of course, as you go out and you can look over the overlooks and see the falls as they come down, some of them seemingly pretty small, others of them large. What you don't want to do is to fall into any part of it, because it's very difficult to live and survive in that tumult. But as you go down the river, walking along the edge, you walk above the river in this beautiful gorge. It's called Mather Gorge, and it runs almost straight away south from Great Falls. It's beautiful. And of course, yesterday it was beautiful because of all the colors. Well, you have this beautiful river with the falls, and then this sort of fast-moving but quiet stream of the river. And all of a sudden, as you come to a place where the river turns, you have another fairly large stream, and in this case it's called Difficult Run, coming down in huge waterfalls and great rushes to join to join with the river. And all of a sudden, everything is so quiet and placid. It's just beautiful, still, serene, moving, but gently. The same kind of experience seems to be happening as we see Jesus moving through Jericho, a great flurry of activity around him. They move and people move with him, protecting him, jostling him, inquiring of him, making a great tumult. And as they leave the town, another stream, if you will, enters in and in some ways disrupts the flow. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, shouts the beggar. Now, beggars and blind people in those days had to have some kind of identifying clothing that told people that they were certified beggars, so to speak. It's like having a beggar's license. You have to have a license to beg. Well, you would have this license by the color and type of clothing you wore. And Bartimaeus had this clothing. He was a certified beggar. He had a need. You could give alms to him because everybody knew he needed them. The initial reaction of the crowd is not very helpful. Shh! Don't stop us now. We're having too much fun, and he doesn't care about you. Don't shout out. Don't make a mess. Don't make a noise. Shush, blind Bartimaeus. Don't make us or Jesus uncomfortable. Blind Bartimaeus is pretty persistent. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, he shouts all the louder. And Jesus hears him. And that's where we're going to begin. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is what is called, in the oldest traditions of the church, the Jesus Prayer. It has various ways of being spoken. You hear it throughout the Gospels. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Feed my child. Heal my child. Heal me. The way it's come in the apostolic tradition, if you will, is Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus hears this prayer. There is no place in the Gospels that records Jesus ignoring this prayer. These are words, while not magic, are likely to get Jesus' attention. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. There are forces in Jesus' day, and there are forces in our day that would want to drown out the cries and pleas of our hearts and the hearts of many as we seek and we plead with Jesus to have mercy. And so, with Bartimaeus, we are called to be persistent in our prayer. Not only crying the words that Jesus attends to, but doing it over and over so that we might be heard. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Jesus hears and he breaks through the difficult religious people who are surrounding him and says, bring him here to me. Come here, Bartimaeus. Get out of the way, you bodyguards, you doorkeepers, you Emily Posts or whatever you are, you monitors of what's right and wrong. Get out of the way. Let Bartimaeus come to me. Well, Bartimaeus does something really amazing, because at this point he has been heard, he knows he's been heard, but he hasn't been able to ask anything of Jesus other than to have mercy. And Jesus has done nothing for him other than to invite him to come. But Bartimaeus stands up and throws off his robe. Now, this might not seem particularly interesting to you until you remember that in his day, that robe meant that he was a licensed beggar and you could give alms to him and trust that he needed them. That somehow, just because he called to Jesus and just because Jesus invited him to come, Bartimaeus began to feel that his identity was beginning to change. That he was not the person that society said he was, but that he was the person that Jesus said he was. And no longer was he going to be identified as the one who needed help, because he was going to find his help in Jesus. No longer was he going to have to call on other people to give him something, because all he needed was going to come from Jesus. I don't need to be named as beggar. I don't need the approval of the religious authorities or the civic authorities to beg, because I don't need that. And that's not who I am. I am the one who called on Jesus, and I am the one that Jesus has invited to come. And that means all the difference in the world. And Bartimaeus comes. And Jesus asks this marvelous question. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? Jesus has witnessed Bartimaeus' calling. Jesus has invited him to come. Jesus has witnessed his trust as expressed in his throwing off his earthly identity, his civic identity, and coming open, needy, and trusting. And Jesus asks, what can I do for you? And blind Bartimaeus asks for his sight. And without another word, Jesus gives it to him. Now, there's a couple of things that we need to remember about this. The first thing is that for most of us, we don't need from Jesus something so dramatic as our sight returned. And for most of us, we are not identified as charity cases. But for none of us, all of us, in fact, need Jesus. And when you pray, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, Jesus hears it for you and invites you to come, to cast off the things that other people say about you, whether you know them or not, to cast off what society thinks about you, whether you care or not. To even set aside your own most cherished images of who you can be. And come and be with Jesus. There is, I don't believe, anything more that Jesus would like to do than to provide for you what you need and want for you to be happy in Him. Our Lord is not a cruel, hard taskmaster. Our Lord is not like that. That is how human beings are. That is how Satan is. Our Lord is a Lord of love. And because our Lord loves indiscriminately, if you will, that means our Lord loves you. And this is not just some sort of parental love. This is not just some sort of theoretical love. This is not just some sort of idealized love. This is a love that gives all for you. And not only has it given all for you, it gives all now for you. What happened to blind Bartimaeus happens every time somebody between then and now has called out, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus has attended. And if somebody came and bowed before Jesus and said, here I am, and Jesus said, what can I do for you? He has entertained the request. Now, if you ask wrongly, There's no embarrassment in that. None of us quite know what we always need. It's okay to ask Jesus for something that he may not or should not give us. How else are we going to know it's right or wrong? If we go to Jesus and said, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Give me a parking place that is close to the front door. It's okay if Jesus tells you, aren't you being a little silly? Don't you need to walk a few extra yards? And decline to answer that prayer in the affirmative. But that doesn't mean that just because you got it wrong once, you can't ask again for something else. This is not a one-time thing. This is a way of life. This is how we are called to go through life. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Why? Not because it beats us up, but because it brings us to an encounter with the one who loves us so much that he has died for us and he has been risen for us, prays for us even now, sends us the power of the Spirit even now, and presents us to God as a sacrifice won by his love and there enduring for all time and after. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Such a simple prayer, and yet such great things come from it when prayed faithfully. When we hear about Paul saying, pray all the time, this in part is what he is saying. That just below the level of our consciousness and then up into our consciousness and back down, we are breathing in and out this prayer. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the rhythm and the breath, and the encounter, and the life, and the power of all eternity begins to touch your being. And you are no longer the same. You no longer have to be stuck in whatever place you are stuck in. But you can trust Jesus to give you what you need to grow, to love, and to live in Jesus. Let us pray.